Hey, Headlampers, welcome to the Headlamp Hour. I'm your host, Nate Jukes, father of five, actuary by day, and a trail runner before sunrise. On this episode of the Headlamp Hour, we sit down with Nicole and Patrick Monette, a dynamic couple hailing from Michigan, who juggle their roles as trail runners and devoted parents to three children. Nicole, a full-time physical therapist, boasts a remarkable past as a professional trail runner for Hoka. Meanwhile, Patrick, a dedicated stay-at-home dad, talks about his growing passion for trail running and cooking. Together, they share insights into their unique journey, from the serendipitous meeting that brought them together to their deep dive into the exhilarating world of trail running. Beyond their athletic pursuits, Nicole and Patrick open up about the profound influence of their Christian faith, a cornerstone that shapes their identity. Join us as we explore their captivating story, touching on their aspirations for 2024 and beyond. All right, Nicole and Patrick Monette, welcome to the Headlamp Hour. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it. The pleasure's all mine. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm really excited for this conversation. First off, before we really get into the questions, so you all live in Michigan, is that right? And it's just about an hour outside of Detroit, is my understanding.
Yeah, I'd say we live about an hour north of Detroit.
A little less than an hour.
Okay. Awesome. And how far from Ann Arbor?
I'd say about an hour as well.
An hour, yeah.
Yeah.
Hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. Just in a different direction, but yep. Okay. So we're celebrating the Michigan's win last night.
We would be remiss if we didn't mention that. Last night, University of Michigan won the national championship over the University of Washington. So I guess just first question is, what's the atmosphere like over there? Is everybody just still partying, still having a good time?
It's a pretty big deal around here. Yeah.
I'd say football is a pretty big deal around this area between the Lions and Michigan right now. Hype is pretty high. So
yeah, that's the other one I was going to mention is the Lions have another shot at the playoffs. They haven't historically been the best record at that playoff.
It's only been 33 years since their last playoff victories.
Right. So we're really rooting for them, hoping for them. But a cool time, I guess, to be in Michigan if you're a football fan. So
yeah.
So, awesome. Well, the real first question that I have for you two, Nicole and Patrick, is what roles define your identity and shape who you are?
I guess I have a lot of roles that I feel like define me. First and foremost, of course, like a wife to Patrick, and then a mom to our three kids. We have two boys and a girl, Peter, Jacob, and Madeline, and Peter's 9 and Jacob's 7 and Madeline's 4. So those are probably, you know, my two biggest roles that I, you know, that I love. And then by day, I'm a physical therapist. I've been doing that quite a while now. And then I also do a little bit of coaching. And I guess those are the main roles that I would define myself by.
Very cool.
I'm pretty simple guy. Being a father is the biggest role. Doting husband to Nicole. Three kids, as Nicole mentioned. And I don't have as many roles as Nicole. She's just so integral in this family. I guess I'm ostensibly a stay-at-home dad. I work part-time, but Nicole is the breadwinner. She makes the lion's share of the money, but it's so much more than that. Like I guess we're co-managers of the house and the household, the day-to-day and the kids, but she really is, she's the manager. I would say my role is more of the assistant manager.
Control freak.
Well, yeah, she's a better manager. She's more organized. She's more efficient than I am. So I, I try to help her out the best I can, because she has a tough, she has a lot on her plate. So I try to make it as, try to make it less difficult. It's going to be very difficult because she has so much to do, and she does such a great job at it. I try to help and not screw things up too much.
He's the family chef. He's a good cook.
Try to remember to take the garbage out and not lock my keys in the car and that kind of thing. That's my role, is to not screw up too much, day
Well,
to
I'm
day.
right there with you, Patrick. That trying not to screw up too much. So I like that. Yeah, I think that's interesting. You started off, Patrick, you said I don't have as many roles as Nicole, as a stay-at-home dad, but you do work part-time and sounds like you cook a lot. But I guess talk about that, how it works. We'll just get right into it with kind of a deeper question, I guess. But in a marriage, right, you're working together, and whether one of you seems to be doing more than the other or less than the other, like what's the importance of working together and making sure everything runs smoothly? How does that look like in your household?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't like that he kind of, he downplays what he does, talks down on himself on it. He is a great dad, and we couldn't really operate like in anything, like in our jobs, in our parenting, in running, without kind of what we both do, I think. Like I couldn't run early in the morning if he wasn't on board and okay with that, and taking care of things at the home. And our family's really important to us, so I'm proud of the way that we work together so that we are taking care of our kids first and foremost, and someone's always there for them. And they have a really good relationship with their dad and with me, but I think that's an important role as well. So really, like, I couldn't do what I do without him. And so just because I have the job outside the home, I really do think both of our jobs are equally important. And it definitely wouldn't work without either one of us. So yeah, I think that we're a good team.
Yep, I definitely couldn't do it without her, and I think we're a good team. It's certainly not always easy. It has a lot of
Yeah.
challenges, but I think we find a way. Sometimes it doesn't seem like there's a way, and we're kind of the same challenges. We're encountering the same challenge, and like it seems like it's. How are we going to overcome this? And it is an ongoing thing, parenting, relationships with the kids and things we're dealing with. So it's not like you solve a problem, it's over. It's something, it's a process, and we're busy on that process, especially with parenting. The kids present their own, all of them present their own challenges. So, you try a few different tacks, and you realize, usually you realize when you're kind of losing a control or feeling like you're losing control of it, and getting angry, getting impatient. That's when nothing productive, a productive result doesn't come from it. So you kind of, at the end of the day, kind of have to assess, wow, what kind of a parent was I today? What can I try tomorrow? And that's kind of an everyday thing, that's self-evaluation, and what worked, what didn't. And plenty doesn't work, and we're back to the drawing board a lot of times. But we come together, and I think we find a way, and we're still looking for ways every day.
Yeah, it's an evolving process. And it definitely flows, ebbs and flows and changes, and you find a rhythm, and then once you get comfortable, the rhythm has to change and you have to find a new rhythm, at least in my experience. But just always kind of a constant trying to find what works best. How long have you two been married?
We just celebrated our 12th anniversary, so
12 years. Well, congratulations. That's
thank
wonderful.
you. Yeah.
I know a little bit about the story about how you met, but I'd like to hear it again from you. And I also want to know, Patrick, what shoes you ended up getting for your grandma in that running store when you two
Man,
met. So can you
that's a
tell that
good. I
story
think
for us?
I don't know if I was wearing Nike for a good stretch of time, so it might have been my Nike phase. That was a good 5 6 years. That was probably in that time. And yeah, that was, I guess, that technically that was where we met, at the Hanson running store that Nicole was working at while she was running for the Hanson team.
Yeah, I was here in Michigan. I was pretty new to Michigan. Came here after graduate school to run for the Hansons, and for just one brief summer, I worked in their running stores while I was actually studying for boards to get my PT license. And he came in with his grandma, and I was just like a young in my young 20s, early 20s, and kind of thought it was cute that he was there with his grandma, and thought he seemed like a nice guy. And me and one of my friends that were working, we kind of were interested, and then we ended up kind of connecting online and going on, pretty much a blind date from other than meeting in the running store, and that was pretty much it. From there, we went to a pizza shop for our first date, and we just started kind of hit it off right away, and we actually got married about a year after we started dating. So we dated for about a year, and then we've been married 12. So,
Grandma was a special part of it, our
yeah,
story.
that his
She,
grandma was a really
yeah.
cool lady. She lived to what, 94 and a half, a little bit over 94, and she was a big part of our lives,
She takes credit for
So yeah, she's
it.
a really cool lady. So it yeah, it
That's
was
awesome.
kind of a cool part of the story.
Okay, so Patrick, you were getting some running shoes for yourself, and grandma was coming with you then. Is
That was
that?
the birthday
Yeah, that was
present.
the birthday tradition. Every year we would it became running shoes, but I think ever since I was, 10, 11 years old, we'd do a little shopping and watch a movie, get some lunch, and that it continued into, God.
Adulthood.
Well, yeah, I think I was what, 25, 26 at
Yeah.
the time. So
Yeah.
yeah. So that was special. I looked forward to it. I mean, my grandma was great. We had a lot of, great memories with her, and those dates were great. And obviously that was a extra special shopping trip.
Yeah, well, good
Grandma.
thing those kind of dates continued.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's awesome. And then you met online, so just like a dating service website.
Yeah, it was eHarmony, right?
Awesome. Which at the time we didn't tell that side of the story all the time, because it was, at the time, it was less common. Nowadays it seems like half the, people meet, relationships meet online. But
Sure.
it was the running store, and that the eHarmony part didn't, but we did actually meet at the running store. We remembered each other, and yeah, so we had, it makes the story, I don't know, I guess the grandma part is the cutest wrinkle to the story, but technically I guess we got things rolling with the eHarmony, however that worked. I was
Hey,
under the
no
process.
shame in that. That's great. No shame in that. Awesome. Well, so cool. And so I guess you were running back then, Patrick, if you were buying running shoes. But how did each of you then get into, and obviously, Nicole, you were running competitively for Hanson's Brooks. I know you had a rough patch with them being injured for the majority of the time you were with them, but how did each of you find and get into trail running after that?
So I like you said, I kind of after college, I had the opportunity to come here to Michigan and run for them, which was something I never imagined would have happened. And I was pretty into the road marathon scene at the time and training for the Olympic trials at the time. And just had some problems with injury, couldn't stay healthy running for them. And also at the time, my mom was really sick with cancer. So there was just a lot kind of going on, and I decided it was like not working out. So I decided to take a step away from the team. And this was at the same time that we were kind of starting to date and everything. And So then I was just kind of running for fun for a while, and then, we started to try to have kids, and that was a whole process. And I kept running as part of my life the whole time. But I would say I stepped away from, highly competitive running for a couple years while we were trying to have kids. And then after our second, Jacob, shortly after that, I was just wanting something different. I was just like, I'm kind of sick of trying to run fast on the roads. I want a new challenge. And I never thought I would do it super seriously or anything. And I ran my first 50K when Jacob was a baby, less than a year. And we all came to that race, and first race was the Ice Age 50K in Wisconsin, and I just did it for fun and enjoyed it, and kind of did it a little bit off and on from there until we had our second or our third baby, Madeline. And after her, I decided I want to train for my first 100-miler, and I did that about a year after her, and then it kind of took off from there for me. I just really enjoyed it, and I found I kind of excelled at the longer distances, and it was just a nice change, and I was staying healthy again, which was awesome. And so that's kind of how I got into running longer ultras and trails.
Yeah, I came from, I guess, team sports, and I came to running and kind of I think someone threw it out. I was really on the fence about, playing football. And when I got to high school, I knew I'd play baseball and basketball. I was still strong on those, but I wasn't sure about football. And I think it was one of my sister's old boyfriends that's just threw it out there without, what about cross country? Because basketball was like my main sport. It might be good conditioning, and you can stay in shape and get right into you'll be feeling great going into basketball season. So I said, what the heck, I'll try it. I didn't enjoy it at all, but I stuck with it. And I'd say for the better part of 2 years on the cross country team, I didn't like it. I group of us would kind of find ways of getting out of workouts and runs. We'd hide. It was not anything to be proud of. But so I it didn't I didn't get the bug didn't I didn't get the bug right away. But then something clicked, and I really enjoyed it, even though I was mediocre throughout high school. I decided to keep running. Ran for the local community college after high school and was even more mediocre. I was even, on the even lower end of the competition. But I still enjoyed it. And at that point, it's, becomes a kind of big part of your life. It's just something that's, and I found that as the distance increased, I got stronger. I enjoyed it more. I could kind of hang a little bit more in some of the longer runs and, at practice at the community college. That's when I had a little bit of a, that's when I excelled the most. I didn't really excel, but I found that the greater the distance, the better I did. So I got into some marathons, and I did okay. I did relative to, what I had accomplished before in the 8 5Ks and the 8Ks. I didn't know anything about nutrition or anything. Gels, anything. So I'd bonk, and I hit the wall one too many times. I decided I wasn't ever going to do that again. Like I dropped down to half marathons, and I kind of liked that. But then it became, I met Nicole, and we, settled down, started having kids. And it's a long story, but I was a teacher for a few years, and I ended up ultimately, that wasn't for me, and I tried to do heating and cooling and sheet metal, and so I wasn't really right. If I ran, I'd run on the weekends, maybe a couple runs Saturday and Sunday, if I got out in the middle of the week, maybe if I was lucky, I'd do that. But I didn't. It was very minimal, 5 6 mile runs when I could. And then after we had our third, after we had Madeline, I don't know what happened. It was. I don't think it was like a midlife crisis, but all of a sudden I just wanted to run longer. I just longer than like I had to be inspired by Nicole, because she was doing it by then. She hadn't quite stepped up to 100 mile distance yet, but she was done a couple 50s, and I was reading the Scott Jurek book. I think it was, is it North, the Appalachian Trail, FKT, account. And I think that the combination, I was reading that while our daughter was in the NICU. There's a lot of downtime, just sitting there by your baby, and that was part of the inspiration. And then I guess it's she's four over four. It's been over 4 years now. I guess it kind of lines up the trail and quasi ultra kind of motivation, I guess, that I kind of lines up with the start of her life. And I haven't really looked back. I've enjoyed it. It's been my most enjoyable running years, I'd say, the last 4 years.
That's so cool. I really like that perspective and that story because a lot of the times we hear about people who went to high school, did really well, like won their state championship or were their first on the, they're the top person on the team and so on and so forth. But that's also what I love about running. Like with you, Patrick, you said, you just loved it and you can continue to do it. And, whereas in maybe other sports, you'd get like cut from the team or something. Like, if you're not up to snuff, like with running, you can just keep doing it and still be part of the team, find it, on a community college and then into adulthood, just continue to find your way and compete and find what you like to do. So, thanks for sharing that perspective. I really like that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I want to come back to some of the things also that, I mean, you guys said a lot in there. But Nicole, you said that you took a couple of years off. I think it was while you were trying to get pregnant. And I wanted to talk about, that process that you guys had with trying to have children. I understand that all three of your children were through in vitro fertilization. Or IVF, is that correct?
Yeah, that is. Yeah. So
And yeah, and so I guess I know with certain, with IVF, you hear different things and you get different advice from doctors or just other people who have gone through it. Was the break from running intentional in trying to get pregnant then? Was that and how what was that decision like? Was there a conflict there or
yeah, that was it definitely was intentional. There's they didn't the doctors, didn't really know like, why I wasn't able to have children naturally. And that one of the first things like people always go to is, well, you run too much, you need to gain some weight, see if that helps. And I really always wanted a family. I mean, I've wanted a family since I was, a young girl. So to me, it's like when we got married, there was no question like we wanted to have kids. And I wanted to have kids kind of right away. I was excited to have kids. Wanted to be, fairly young when I had them. So I'd say we started trying to have kids pretty soon after we got married. It wasn't, we didn't wait too long. And I knew with, my personal medical history that it may be difficult. I didn't think it might be not be as easy. So yeah, so I went through a lot of things. We tried a lot of different treatments before we did the IVF and part of that was me taking a big step back from running and ultimately like those other treatments didn't really work. And so then we decided to go with IVF and through that process, it's pretty demanding both physically and emotionally, mentally. So I wasn't able to run as much. I mean, I did run, I'm trying to remember back now. I did run some, but definitely at a much like lower just for, some exercise type of level. But it was hard though. It wasn't easy for me. I've been kind of in love with running since college, so it was pretty difficult for me, I would say.
Yeah, you don't usually in life have to make such a drastic or clear-cut like trade like this for that. Like, I'm going to sacrifice running to have kids. Like,
Usually you can do like a little bit of both, but when you're faced with infertility, sometimes, you know, that clear-cut sacrifice is made even more clear.
Yeah, there was even like some guilt, you know, there's some guilt involved because you're not sure, like, oh, is this my fault for like, you know, being too hard on my body or, you know, running too much or, you know, whatever it is. So then, you know, you're like, oh, I want this so bad, you know. And so you kind of have to like make that decision. I'm willing to do, you know, whatever it takes. And then when you go down the IVF route, you know, the financial burden and whatnot, you know, you don't want to mess anything up. So yeah, so now looking back, of course, it's all worth it. But yeah, it was definitely challenging, I would say, for a couple years in there.
Yeah, Patrick, what was your perspective on that with, you know, Nicole backing off on the running? How was that seeing your wife kind of sacrifice that part of her life to have children?
Well, it was, and I guess, looking back, you forget how, well, I mean, it was much less difficult for me than it was for her. But I mean, that period of time, you don't remember the day to day of just the kind of the waiting and the just the toll that it's taken on, in my position, on my wife. I mean, it's for on her. Just in every way, just physically, emotionally, and all, both of us, of course, just wanting desperately to for it to work and to be able to, have one child in the first place. And just kind of, I mean, she had definitely had to make a lot of sacrifices. I guess the running was one of them. But just the, I mean, it's at some point, it's like she's almost like I don't know, a guinea pig in an experiment. And it's like it's hard to watch, and it's you're given kind of odds. And it could be, if you're lucky, it could be, 50-50 that it works. But you have a lot of money invested, a lot of time, a lot of, all that she's going through invested in it, and 50-50, there's a 50% chance that it's not going to work. If you're in 50-50 is if you're lucky. So the waiting and the, the physical, emotional toll that it takes, and seeing her have to go through it all, like she said, it all ended up being worth it. And we were lucky and blessed enough for it to work three times. I mean, it was and I think on our third time, that's our girl Madeline, and it's hard to imagine life without her. I mean, she kind of completed the family, so it's like it was the last, if this works, fantastic. That's what we're obviously we're rooting for that, but we're gonna accept whatever, whatever the outcome is. And we just, I mean, thank God that was the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to feel, I'm sure, super grateful that it did work, even like three times. Because I know there are several people, who have gone that route and it doesn't work even once. So I guess, like, I don't know how to ask this question. It's a little awkward, but like, do you feel like guilty at all? Like that you are such a success story for IVF when other people have less happy endings, or how do you wrestle with those types of feelings?
I don't know if I would call it. I don't think that I feel guilty that we had success, but I do feel extremely, extremely grateful that we had the success we had. And I feel an extreme amount of empathy with people that go through it and especially are not successful. So I do feel, you know, I've had the chance to kind of, you know, when you share your story, a few people will reach out to you that may be going through the same thing that don't want to share it publicly. And I think I've had the chance several times to kind of be there for people going through similar situations. And so, you know, I'm a believer that, you know, things happen. God puts things in your path and in your story for a reason. So, I think, you know, we're meant to have the children that we have, but I definitely really feel a lot of empathy for people that, you know, are not as successful for whatever reason. And just a lot of gratitude that we were, because I know the story could be completely different, you know, and it is for some people. So.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you mentioned, you know, your faith in God and how important that is to you and how you credit him for bringing you these beautiful children. I guess now the question is, like, what do you hope to instill in them, you know, as your children, seeing their parents as people of faith and conviction?
I would say that that's a really big part of our family and our family values. You know, we're part of a church here, and we go every week with our family, and, you know, the kids are in their Bible studies, and you know, we try to live out, I always kind of say, like, my personal goal is to live out the gospel in our home the best I can. Believe me, I'm nowhere near perfect. But yeah, to me, it's very important. You know, I want them to see me living in such a way that demonstrates that my faith is important to me. So that's my personal goal, and raising them in that way, and just trying our best to just instill the values we believe in with them. And above all, just being kind, loving human beings is my goal for them.
Absolutely. Love it. Patrick, did you have something to add to that?
I fall short every day, and I kind of have, I have a lot of growing that I need to, I hope to grow a lot more as a Christian. It's a lot more in the foundation of who she is. I was raised in a strong Christian home, and I'm a Christian. I think Nicole she's better at, trying to impart, you know, directly anyway, Christian values to our kids. And I like to be more of a partner to her in that. I think it starts, as you know, with the example. I guess I had a great example in my parents. And so I look at my dad as, you know, the father figure, he was, you know, faith is still such a you know, strong part of his life, and he lives it every day, and you know, the kind of person he is, and just selfless and helping everyone. And my mom's the same way. And so I kind of look at my dad as a, you know, and my parents as someone to, as, you know, and Nicole and I, we have a great, example to look upon. And I see myself falling short, though. My parents, they seem to be, they're very supportive, and they seem to be proud, and they're happy with, the man I am. But I know that I have a long ways to go in my, you know, walk as a Christian man. So it's an everyday.
We all do. You know, we're all a work in progress. So.
Amen. Absolutely. For sure. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I wanted to get into as well your work and family and church and running balance that you all must, you know, do. in your life, or else it would be, you know, falling apart. But Nicole, so you mentioned you're still a full-time physical therapist working with patients, I understand, who have recently undergone orthopedic surgery. Are you still in that field?
Yeah, I still work in outpatient orthopedics. Been working in that field for, I guess, like 13 years now. So I still work full time. So I work 5 days a week. So, and it's a pretty, you know, set schedule. It's not a work from home or flexible situation. So that presents some challenges. So I run really early most of the time. I'm the early morning person. This time of year, you know, an ode to your podcast name, I run with a headlamp pretty much every day. this time of year, at least. So I'm running early before normally I start and no one's awake yet. And yeah, and he normally squeezes his run in, you know, depending on the kid's schedule for the day and everything. He'll squeeze his run in sometime in there. And on the weekends, we pretty much just take turns in the morning.
That's so awesome. I am also the early bird in our relationship as far as getting in an exercise or a run goes. And I really, I guess, yeah, like enjoy that selfishly, because usually you can wake up early enough to get your run in before the kids wake up. And then, you know, and then I'm back and I help with breakfast time and stuff like that. So, has that been your experience with balancing your runs and exercises? How about you, Patrick?
Yeah, I think Nicole is naturally a morning person. I'm more of a night person, so that works out. But I think just our life, the demands of Nicole's schedule with work and everything, she has to get up. I wish she didn't have to get up as early as she does. I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous hour, I think, to run.
What time are you getting up, Nicole? Are you still getting up 3:45?
Sometimes, yeah, it depends on the day. So my work schedule varies a little bit day to day. So it depends what time I have my first patient. But if I start the days I start work at 7, I get up, yeah, around the 4 o'clock hour ish. But then there's days when I don't have to get up quite that early. But I would say during the week, I'm getting up between like 4-ish and 5. And then even now, you know, our kids are getting older, so they're involved in more sports and things like that. And so I find myself a lot of times on the weekends, I still have to get up fairly early just because, you know, I'm never wanting to miss anything with them. So like you said, it feels good to me to kind of get things in and be done by breakfast time. And then I don't feel like it takes away much from the rest of the day, which is how I want it to be. Yeah.
So the question is, what time are you all going to bed? Are you going to bed pretty much right after the kids are going to bed, if you're waking up 4 or 5?
I am. He doesn't, but because he sleeps in a little, he doesn't sleep in late or anything, but he sleeps in longer than I. But yeah, I do go to bed pretty much after I get the kids to bed. I pretty much am going myself.
I'll take a little time, you know, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours typically, you know, after everyone's in bed, just to kind of, that's kind of my down time, you know, decompressing time, I guess. I'd like to use that time better. I'd like to maybe dive into some books instead of watching, you know, just kind of zoning out, watching TV. That's a New Year's resolution, I guess. Maybe half those nights that I would turn the TV on, I just read instead. But yeah, I am more naturally a night person, but it does kind of work, you know, she's working her schedule, and now that the kids are in school, or two of them are in school full time, and Madeline's in preschool 3 days a week, I can run. It's the perfect amount of time, 3 days a week, to just to get that run in while she's in school. So I'm not really, you know, it's natural. That's a good, you know, it's just built naturally, you know, or naturally built like well into the schedule. And I think, you know, eventually I'd like to be able to help Nicole out more when they're in school full time. I'll be able to work more, and hopefully she won't have to work as much. And maybe she can kind of scale back on, you know, the waking up at, you know, 3:30 in the morning and to run. And maybe, you know, that's my hope. Anyway, I can be more of a better assistant manager. Maybe I'll move up to co-manager.
Get a promotion.
But There is something cool about running early, though, before like the rest of the world is awake. So,
There certainly is. Before even cars are out on the road, it's something, just so calming. But it does take its toll
It
on the
does.
body. So, Patrick, I know your kids are maybe a little bit older, but when they were a little younger, were you doing any stroller miles, pushing a stroller with the kids and stuff like that?
Yeah, I got in a good amount of stroller miles with all of them. I think all of them individually, and then I did I guess the oldest and middle and the double stroller, and then the middle and youngest in the double stroller. And now it's I'm my I'm just thinking about this. My stroller in days are you know, there are not many left. I'm thinking this spring might be my last stroller runs with Madeline, and it's kind of sad thinking
Yeah,
about
it's
it
kind of sad.
because I would like to know how many miles I logged. I don't maybe you know I don't know if I'll ever know that, but I'm very curious because I did put
Well,
in miles.
if you are missing, pushing a stroller while running, I've got a few kids you can throw
Yeah, a few loans.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you get used to it, it's not too bad. Definitely not as freeing as being out there on your own. But I prefer it to the treadmill. Really, I'd
Yeah.
rather push a stroller. At least being outdoors and being with the kids. They're not always like thrilled
Super.
about being on the run. Most of the time, they're all right with it. So, but yeah,
Yeah.
I like getting out with them.
And as the cook, as the stay-at-home dad, what is one of your favorite things to cook for the family?
Gosh, for the family,
Pizza.
pizza. I guess I like to make a decent pizza, I think, on the kind of the stone, get it real hot
Nice.
and do that with the homemade sauce and fresh mozzarella and that. But I guess that would be the go-to. The kids don't. I we're We haven't done a good job of we kind of we've done too much of like giving them their own little, the chicken nuggets and the simple foods that they'll eat. And we really want to start cooking that one meal and making sure that they're gonna try it. They're gonna start to, they're not gonna starve to death. They're gonna eat it, and they're gonna find that wow, the food is a it's a world of, I mean, they don't know what they're missing because they eat some of the stuff that kids like to eat, and we're on the verge of really putting our fist down and making that one meal.
That's what
But
we
I
said.
do. It is kind of a shameful thing that I do a lot of the cooking, and. But I'd like to be able to say I cook for the whole family. I mostly just cook for Nicole and I at the moment until tomorrow.
Another New
We're
Year's
turning the new leaf
resolution.
over. Yeah.
Another New Year's resolution. No,
Yeah.
I tell you what, if I was in charge of making dinner every night, there would be a lot of chicken nuggets, a lot of quesadillas, a lot of macaroni and
Yeah,
cheese.
we do all those.
Oh yeah, those are all staples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, no pressure from me. That's for sure. But that's good. Yeah, I was gonna ask you what's your favorite thing to cook for you two, and then what's, your the favorite thing that your kids actually like that you cook.
Yeah.
But sounds like it's what my kids like too. So
Little Caesar's pizza.
yeah, that's their favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. I wanted to talk again a little back to trail running. So Patrick, you completed your first 50-mile race at the Mohican 50 in June of 2022 in Loudonville, Ohio. So just a state away. You completed the race in 8 hours, 45 minutes. You got fifth place male. What inspired you about that race to choose that race? And how did you feel about your experience there as your first 50 miler?
Well, I guess I had a couple 50 Ks under my belt, and I didn't, when I started running, well, I didn't think I'd ever run anything more than a marathon. I didn't want to run another marathon after I ran a few. So I guess it's kind of just that next step up after the couple 50Ks, just wondering, you know, can I run 50 miles? And I just decided that's what I wanted to do. It seems in my head, it seemed like that would be the ceiling. Like that's as far as I'm ever going to go. And I really haven't, you know, maybe I'll do another 50 at some point, but it's hard to, you know, look beyond that, the next step beyond a 50 mile. But I thought, I thought I could at least kind of suffer through it. If I had to do a lot of walking, I'm going to get through the thing. And I did. And it happened to be, it was a lot more enjoyable by the end of it. It was, I finished pretty strong. There were definitely some miserable miles, you know, in the 30s, early 30s to into the lower 40s. But I got that experience, what I'd never experienced, because I'd never gone that distance, where you can feel better at, in my case, better at, 42 miles maybe than I did at 32 miles. You just got to keep on putting one foot in front of the other, and, you have a lot more in you than you know, and you got to kind of, be patient, I guess, and just keep going sometimes. And that's kind of what I found out from that. So that was a good experience.
That's a really good learning takeaway, I think, that in an ultra, you can feel really crappy somewhere in the middle, but then you can start to feel better, which is counterintuitive, right? That you're longer into the race. You should be more tired, but you actually get this second wind or whatever you want to call it, and you can start to feel better. Maybe some of the fueling has kicked in or something like that. It'd be interesting to see kind of exactly why that phenomenon occurs, but that's a good takeaway. Appreciate that. And then Nicole, so your entrance, I want to talk about your entrance into kind of the pro trail running scene. You were in the pro road running scene for a little bit. We mentioned you ran for the, prestigious team Hanson's Brooks after college. And then later, I guess several years later, you kind of built your way up over a year or two into the 100-mile distance. Patrick Reagan kind of was instrumental in inviting you or suggesting your name to a Hoka representative to run at the Hoka Carbon X2 event in January of 2021, which was really hyped up and really an exciting time. I remember watching the live stream, watching Jim Walmsley just miss the 100K world record by 11 seconds on the men's side. And then Camille Herron, who we all know and love, was favored on the women's side. Unfortunately, she was forced to drop with an injury during that race. But then, you come along and you're running while no world records were broken that day on either side, you came in second on the women's side in a time of 7 hours, 43 minutes. Did that race, that kind of exhibition event, feel like a turning point for you in your career? Whether it was something proven to yourself or proven to others, what was that experience like?
Yeah, it absolutely was. Just how I got that opportunity, it was kind of unexpected. And, I went there to Arizona and I was really nervous, to be honest. I kind of felt like major imposter syndrome, like I don't really belong here. I'm not sure I should have come here. It was a small event, but because of, it was right during some of the COVID things. But it was very competitive. So everyone there is, a very good runner. And I had, this was my first time representing Hoka. And this is the reason I pretty much got the opportunity, was to come do this event. And I was really nervous about it. Wasn't sure how it was going to go. Really just didn't want to embarrass myself. There's all these live streams, and this was kind of, I feel like, in the beginning of when live streaming was becoming more of a thing. And And so, yeah, I started off that race pretty much at the back, but feeling like I was running where I should. And yeah, it was just one of those surreal experiences where it just went really well for me that day. And I just kind of moved up steadily throughout the day and ended up in second and ran a time that I was really happy with. And yeah, I do feel like that kind of launched the next couple years, which was really fun.
Awesome. And as far as your mindset goes, you know, before becoming like a pro trail runner and after becoming a pro trail runner, how did that like change your perspective or your approach to running and racing?
I don't know. I guess it kind of, what I would say is it opened up opportunities for me. Whereas before I was always serious about it in the way that I was always training hard, even when I would do a local event and trying to do my best, but it was, I would stay more regionally or local. I didn't think about, traveling across the country to race some of these big runs, And then I did this and I got the opportunity to have, like a travel budget from Hoka. And then all of a sudden, through Pat, who I had known from college, and he was a runner for Hoka at the time. And, he kind of opened my eyes too to just different opportunities and all these different things I could do. So it was just all of a sudden like, oh, I can go to these bigger, more competitive races throughout the country and see if I can be competitive in them. And so I guess it did change my mindset in that way, where all of a sudden, like, I considered myself to be someone that could go to some of the more competitive races and maybe be competitive in them. Whereas before, I don't think I would have necessarily pursued that. So.
Yeah. And Patrick, from your perspective, what was the family dynamic like? How did that change? How did the kids look at mom now who's running and now traveling for races? What was that like?
Well, I think they kind of looked at her as a superhero, especially our oldest. He really enjoyed her being sponsored by Hoka, and he considered her a celebrity, she was a professional runner, and he really, he ate all that up. And I think the start of it was, not how you would. Most professional athletes, their first race probably isn't this, event that's professionally streamed like that, the Carbon X event was. So his first exposure was, watching it. We had a little watch party at our house. And, it's some irony in just watching these runners kill themselves over 100 kilometers while, we're eating nachos. And, but that was his first exposure to his mom, running for Hulk was on the big screen. And, so he was all in
from that point on. To him, if you're on YouTube, you're pretty cool. So it doesn't matter if I'm on YouTube, he thinks it's pretty cool. So.
Well, that's awesome. I hope that he continues to think mom and dad are cool. And
yeah.
That's great. I think, I saw a picture on Instagram of, I think it was your oldest wearing your USA kit at like a local 4th of July 5K or something like that, that you had got from the 100K World Championships where, you and the women's team took home gold. So I guess, can you, again, just talk a little bit about that, what it means to you to, one, kind of represent your country, and two, to have your children kind of look up to you in that way.
Yeah, it's really cool that experience going over to Germany and being on Team USA and unexpectedly winning the gold as a team will definitely be one of, if not my top, memory through ultra running. But and I think it's really cool to share in it with my kids, especially Peter, my oldest. He's a little runner himself. I think he could be a good runner as he gets older. He likes to run and he's kind of a natural at it. So he likes to do some of the local 5Ks. And, you know, it's so special when he wants to wear my jerseys or my Hoka shirts or, you know, my Team USA jersey that fits him. There's nothing better than that. It makes it feel all worth it. Patrick knows, and I've mentioned it before, I have a really hard time traveling away from my kids for races. I always try to minimize the time I'm gone almost to a fault where it's like pretty rushed and, you know, because I just, you know, I have some guilt when I leave them, and not only guilt, but I just, it's not from Patrick or anything. It's just from myself. And I miss them a lot when I travel to race. And there's always this part of me that's like, oh, should I be doing this? Is this selfish? Or, you know, why am I doing this? And then sometimes you kind of see that, well, you know, they are noticing and they do think it's, you know, really cool, and that mom goes and does these things. And, you know, I'm hoping that I'm instilling something in them that, you know, they can do these types of things, and they don't have to stop pursuing goals as they become an adult and that kind of thing. So I try to balance the guilt that I feel with those types of things.
That's great. Yeah. I think whether it's running professionally and traveling or just being away from them all day at work, that's something that is paradoxical, right? Of being a parent is I need to provide for my family. So I need to go to work. I need to be away from them so that I can, you know, provide for them and have a good relationship with them. So we're not, you know, just trying to survive and stressed out or whatever. So
yeah, it's all part of the balance. And yeah. I would definitely be lying if I said it was, if it was easy. It's not always easy, for sure.
Yeah. And so I think that's a good transition into what I wanted to kind of wrap up this conversation about is your recent announcement of, you know, your ending of your Hoka contract. You've had 3 years with them. And I just wanted to read back to you your Instagram post, if you don't mind. And so just bear with me for a second here. You start out with a quote that's very fitting by Dr. Seuss. You said, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. And then you go on and say, 3 years ago, Hoka gave me an opportunity I never imagined I would have. And I am extremely grateful for the opportunities and their partnership afforded me. I would have never imagined that a mom of three in her mid-30s would get a chance to run professionally. But it just goes to show that following your dreams is powerful. When I reflect back over the past 3 years of work, I feel proud of the dedication that I put towards being my best on the roads and trails and the performances that I was able to get out of myself. But it really wasn't about me. What I am most grateful for are the people I met along the way, the friendships I have made, the relationships that were built, the community around me. Those are the things that will last well beyond race times and placements. So thank you, Hoka, for an amazing run. I'm truly not sure what's next for me. I don't currently have any races on my 2024 calendar. I'm trying to give myself a little time to run for the joy of it and find what really inspires me. I'm not sure what that looks like right now, and I'm trying to be okay with that. It's not easy for a goal-oriented person like myself, but my life is full, and sometimes you have to step back a bit to move forward. See everyone out on the roads and trails. This is a beautiful sport in so many ways. Keep chasing whatever it makes you feel alive. So when you think about, you know, that in your 3 year run with Hoka, how do you feel kind of now that it's quote over and you're in this transition period? You obviously mentioned gratitude. Any other feelings or thoughts come to your mind?
Yeah, it's kind of, I definitely feel thankful for the opportunity and, grateful. That's definitely top of mind. I also feel like, you know, I still love to run and to compete and to push myself. And there's so many things you can do in trail running, you know, and I've barely really scratched the surface. So I definitely still feel like I want to keep doing the sport. I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not just forcing myself to go from race to race if it's not like something I really want to do, you know. And I want to include my family in it more too. As they're getting a little older, it might be slightly easier for them to come to some of these races and be a little bit, you know, more of a part of it. So yeah, I don't know exactly where it's going, but I also don't feel like I'm done with it because it is just such a cool sport and there's so much out there and there's so much I really haven't done that I would like to try to do. So yeah, I don't know exactly where that's heading right now, but yeah, I'm grateful for the opportunity and I still have a healthy body and I'm still able to do it. So I'll probably still be out there.
Yeah. And before I ask you a little bit more about what is next for you as far as running goes, is there any sense of like relief or pressure taken off or like I don't have to necessarily, you know, post to social media as much or things like that?
Absolutely. I have to say, you know, and this is great, like Hoka never really put pressure on me. And I never felt pressure from them, but I definitely put pressure on myself. Just, you know, being a sponsored athlete, I think that comes with a certain amount of pressure, at least for someone like me who tends to put a lot of pressure on themselves anyway. So definitely, like, I put pressure on myself, like when I came to a race and I'm wearing the Hoka kit and I'm considered a professional athlete. And there is a sense of relief, I think, in that, you know, I'm not, you know, sponsored right now. And I'm back to just kind of doing this for, you know, for me and for, you know, different reasons, but not for so much a sponsor. So I do think that there's a little bit of a relief and pressure on myself from that. And I'm hoping that freedom kind of brings a little bit more joy back into some of the races. I've struggled a little bit, I would say, in the past like year with just feeling a little bit overwhelmed, you know, with the racing. I've always enjoyed the process. I actually love to train. I want to find the joy back in the racing. And if I can't, then I'm not sure I want to do the racing, if that makes sense.
So. For sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah. As cliche as it is, you know, enjoy the process.
Exactly.
So, excellent. So what is, I mean, like you said, you know, you still love running, you still love racing, you still love competing. I mean, so what is out there? What's some of your kind of unfinished business that you've got?
Well, I would still really like to someday run Western States. So at the very least, I'm still trying to get like qualifiers in so I can put in for the lottery, you know. So I've tossed around the idea of doing a 100-miler somewhat locally here in like end of spring, early summer, so that the kids can come and Patrick can come and we can kind of all be part of it. I've really missed that the last few races I've done, where I've either just gone by myself or him and I have gone and the kids have stayed home and I just have missed them a lot. And so I kind of just want to do a race where they can like be part of my crew and I can be just a little bit more laid back about it. So I might, I've actually thought about doing the Mohican 100 miler, which that's in Ohio. That's the one he did. And it's about 3 hours from here. So we could all definitely go. So definitely want to still, you know, think about that kind of thing. And I still haven't cracked the code for running 24 hours. That's still on the back of my mind of trying to possibly qualify for the 2025 24-hour team. there's a chance there's going to be another 100K team this year. So there's just still things out there that are floating around in my brain. Not sure exactly what that's going to look like this year, but those are some of the things I'm thinking about.
Sounds like all good options and yeah. All good things to chase and pursue. How about you, Patrick? Does Nicole taking a step back give you more time to train, or has that got your wheels turning about what perhaps you could do in running, or are you still just
well yeah, I think I have the same. I'm registered for a 50. I don't do a lot of racing. Maybe a race a year. And 50K is kind of, that's where my head's at right now. Right now, I'd like my kids to see me finish a race, because the last two 50Ks I've had to drop. The first one I took a wrong turn. I was, you know, way off course. It just, you know, I ended up, so that was the issue on that one. The next one I had, dealing with a hernia, issue, and it was a, you know, 4 or 5 years that I was dealing with it. And it was at that race, I was in such pain. I got pretty good ways into it. I think I had 7-8 miles left, and it was just too painful at that point. And I had to drop out, and it was in Ohio as well. So we stayed in a hotel overnight, brought the kids, and you know, they were there to watch me do it. And I had to drop out. So it was like it, two times in a row, and it's kind of a bad fit. I just want to cross the finish line, see the kids. So that's kind of, if I have a goal, that's my goal, just to kind of, I want the kids to see me finish a race, maybe one of these 50K races, I guess is what I'm, what I have in mind. So I guess I'm registered for a race, a little race, in the UP, like just Northern UP, Two Hearted River 50K, I think is what it's called. But it's like a lot of it runs, it's a point to point. It runs along Lake Superior. It looks like a beautiful course. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it and seeing the nature around me and crossing the line and seeing Nicole and the kids. So that's what I look forward to. That's my goal. If I have a goal.
That's great. There's no shame, obviously, you know, in DNFing. But I guess my question is, you know, why is that so important to you to, you know, show to your kids that you want to finish a race? What's the importance behind that?
Well, I guess it shows them that, these races are, they're pretty hard, and you're going to get to a point, and a lot of these races, most of them, where you just don't want to go on, you just want the pain to stop, and but it's important to keep going. And, you know, it's an important life lesson, I guess. It can be applied to all different things in life. I guess you got to keep going with adversity, and when it gets to be, you know, extra challenging, you need to find a way, dig down deep, and, you know, get through it. I wasn't getting through that. The hernia one, I it was disappointing, because it just, you know, it was something, it would randomly kind of flare up. For the most part, I could live with it, and it just happened to be that day, and there was no go getting through that one. So I couldn't say like, oh, I should have run through that one. I had surgery a couple of weeks later. Like, I needed surgery. It was wet long. Yeah. Over the, so, but it would be, and they have, and there is a little bit of, you know, they've seen their mom finish some races, and then, you know, there's a little bit like, I'm like, let's see Dad finish a race now. You know, why not?
You're not competitive, are you, Patrick? You're not competitive.
Not going 100 miles, but
you guys aren't competitive with each other, are you?
Well, we can be. I would say the thing is if we didn't have kids, I think we would actually make pretty good training partners.
Yeah,
we're pretty similar in abilities. So. We actually, when we sometimes, if we're on a trip and, you know, we can run together or whatnot, I would say we can be a little competitive with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not overly so. No.
Yeah, I enjoy our runs together.
He's quicker than me at short stuff, and I'm probably better at the long endurance stuff. So we balance each other out pretty well.
That's awesome. Well, that's so much fun.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap up here, you know, I just want to say how much I admire you two for your hard work, for your dedication to your, you know, your children, your running, your careers, your family, your faith, and just how much, again, I admire you two. I've gotten to know, you know, as I did some research for this interview, I found a lot on Nicole, and listened to, you know, some podcasts and saw some things on her, but I didn't know as much about you, Patrick. So it's also been fun getting to know you some more.
Yeah, thanks for the conversation. Yeah,
thank you for having us both on. This has been fun to have like this format, and I feel like you asked some different questions that were kind of fun to dive into. So thank you.
Well, as we wrap up here, I have one final question for each of you, and that is, what mantra or saying serves as your headlamp through the dark or difficult moments of life?
You want to go first?
Well, I don't know if it's a mantra, but I just like to just always keep, just remember that I need to be grateful that I can do it, that I can just do it. I have the ability, I'm healthy enough, my body is strong enough, and, you know, I can put these miles in, and, you know, I have the privilege of being able to get out there and, you know, and get outside and move, and, you know, a lot of people can't say the same thing, and I, you know, won't always be able to. So while I can, I'm going to appreciate it.
Yeah. Love. I echo that. And then, you know, I just like to remind myself, like, you know, when I get into a negative headspace, it's just like, it's simple. And I'm sure a lot of people say it to themselves, but it's just like, I can do hard things. I've done hard things in life and in running, and I think that's important. I think a lot of people just, you know, don't want to push themselves out of comfort zones. And I understand that, because sometimes I don't really want to either. But I think it's good to remind ourselves that, like, we can do hard things, so that when something comes up in life, you know, you can remind yourself, like, hey, I've done a lot of hard things. Like, you know, you can do this. And yeah, so I just tell myself that when things get kind of dark.
Well, thank you. Those are great words of wisdom. And I'm sure those are things that you're trying to teach your children and be a good example to them as well. So again, thank you so much for this conversation, and I'll see you later.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.